you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, September 25th, 2019. A flurry of activities are happening left and right here today.
That is so true. And you have a big announcement about a wonderful fundraiser.
Oh, that's going to be a great one. Yeah, yeah. Stay with us for a couple more minutes. I'll get to it really soon
okay.
here.
All right.
But excited. This is one of those high-octane days where you can put closure on some of the ideas that you're working on, or you followed up on that, and so now it's in their court, or the information these people needed, you sent it to them, you finished up emails. Light is shining into the inbox. Those of you that are like my inbox, it could be 1 to 400 messages that you have to answer or attend to. They're not like junk mail. So I've made some progress on that and thought through some other things that we're doing. So
sounds like it all falls under that umbrella of productive.
Production at its best, and it's minimizing some of the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many of you are like me, but when you have those unfinished things or something's not resolved or you don't have clarity, and it inhibits, I guess you would say, or it causes the other things to not either be clear, or you can't think and use your energies for new things. That's what I love to do.
I'll just make this footnote, i.e., the entire storage room in the back is cleaned up. Thanks to you.
That was, so I'm glad.
Well, I came in that back way the other morning, and it's like the doors were open, and I saw everything pulled out, and things were going on, and you were like, I'm fixing it.
It was like a spring cleaning surge I had or something.
That's great. Well, it's fall, but still okay.
Well, when we were at the Westside Church of the Nazarene on Sunday night with the singing men, we almost sold out of one of the CDs. We sold some of the It's a Wonderful Life CDs and then two of the Singing Men CDs.
Okay, that makes sense of why you had all the CDs out too.
Yeah, so I was trying to empty those boxes into this thing. In this case, I could move here now, and then I could move this to there.
Yeah,
and then Dwayne was in here doing Tootsie Pops, so we emptied out some more boxes.
Yeah, he kept coming in and out.
So it's been a high-octane day, and I love these kind of days because then I can put energy and effort into new things.
Yeah.
And one of the new things that we're going to be doing at the end of next month, so it'll be October pretty soon here.
Very soon.
In fact, because of our Prime Life Times paper, you know, the final proofs went in and everything. It's
I
being
feel like
printed
it's already
now.
October.
Yeah, I know. That's why October seems like it's already
October
here.
I've been looking at October all yesterday.
But on October 28th, it's a Monday, anytime between noon and 10 p.m., and those are the hours of the Jarlene's Custard Cup on Kirby Avenue here in Champaign. They will donate 20% of your purchases back to the station.
That's so great.
We are giving everyone permission to have ice cream on Monday, October 28th. So it doesn't just have to be dessert. It can be going there for a malt or an ice cream cone or a sundae or the variety of all their tasty treats.
And if for some reason you can't eat ice cream, like you're diabetic, just buy one for a child or buy one for your friends.
Yeah, come and pay for somebody in line.
It is so cool. Yeah, hey, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, that could be. And you see a veteran in line or somebody that serves.
This is so cool of them.
Yeah. So on Monday night, October 28th, put it on your calendar.
And
you'll hear a lot
Monday.
About it. Yeah, all day and all night from noon to 10 p.m. We appreciate Tom Siegel. I guess he's one of the owners or one
he
of
is.
The managers that oversees things.
He's the managing owner. There's a conglomerate of owners like Bruce Weber, Ron Turner, two NFL football players. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And Ashley Rhodes, store manager. I really liked her.
Yeah. So that'll happen on Monday, October 28th. 20% of your purchases. Now, you have to say Great News Radio.
Oh, yes. So please don't forget
make sure when you're in line. Yes, we're here because of Great News Radio, or we're here to help the radio station, Great News Radio. 20%. So if we get a bunch of you out. And
I know.
I'll be there at some point with Esther, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I will.
Yeah, by that point, Holly will finally be back.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It's been growing pains. Esther and I've been very intentional with Esther.
That's
Esther,
excellent.
This is like summer camp with Daddy.
Oh.
You're going to learn some
things. Was it
things.
Fun for her?
No. It's been a roller coaster. There's been some great fun times.
Good.
But there's been some points of, Esther, you got to learn about turning off lights when you leave a room.
Oh, dear. That stuff.
What some of those
We've all
peeves.
Heard it.
Yeah. Esther, what did I just finish telling you to do? Have you done that? So
I always think that when people grow up, including myself, the first time you pay your first electric bill, you look at that light switch, you go, oh, that's what they meant.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we've been really, actually, she's been doing great at the nighttime. We've been getting her in bed at the proper time, always early to school. She's made great headway, but it's like we have another week before Mama Bear is back, and it's like I want these habits to be routine.
Should people send food in, or what do you need to have happen?
We've been eating out a lot,
I had a feeling.
Yeah. We've gone to all of our favorite restaurants.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, Texas Roadhouse on Monday. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them.
Yep.
So anyway.
Okay, well, show up at Jarlene's.
Yeah, so Jarlene's, October 28th, it's a Monday, 20% of your purchases will go to Great News Radio. So it might be a time where you want to order a couple half gallons and store it.
You bet.
Knowing that 20%
that's a good idea.
Of that will go back to the station.
Store it for Christmas dinner. I mean, this is great of them to do this.
Yeah, 20%, that could be significant.
It's a real fundraiser.
Yeah, so. And then on Sunday night, I just briefly mentioned it, but the Singing Men sang at the West Side Church of the Nazarene, and we didn't get to say anything on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
But that guys did a great job, and I was really impressed with the church. I guess right now they currently have like an interim or an intern pastor. They're praying up a future full-time pastor that'll take on the role. But they had posters in all their doors for the Singing Men concert. I was impressed with that. Even in the bathrooms in the stalls of the bathrooms.
Yeah.
So I was like, they really marketed that. I thought that was a great idea. You know, when you're in the bathroom, you're washing your hands or standing there or whatever, there it is. So you read it. So I thought very creative. And so, and they use those little, so this might be an idea for another church. They use those little sticky things where you can peel off. What are those called? You frame it on the wall, but you don't have to use a nail. They're at Sam's Club. They're at Walmart's. It's like that little strip. You put
it
up.
What is that called?
And then you can hook the things onto it.
Yeah.
Well, anyways,
is it like Scotch tape or something? What is that?
Yeah. Or that sometimes some of them are like Velcro.
Yeah.
And that's
this
gluing.
Is interesting.
Well, I think other people might want to do the same.
Oh, they might.
So, anyways.
They might know what it is, actually.
Yeah. That way you don't have to pound a, you know, and men, we don't like those nails. Well, maybe women, too. We don't like nails into the wall.
I felt really really good pounding a nail, and I feel like a worker.
I know, but us men, well, I can't just say men, but
you tell
that's
me
a hole.
All
that's
about
a permanent hole, so we like to put up a different way
and
in
it
these
falls.
Little things. Yeah,
yeah.
These things are supposed to hold. Anyway, so Jarlene's October 28th, and be praying up the Singing Men of GNN. In fact, we're going to be singing two Christmas concerts. I think it's December 14th and the 21st. The 14th will be at the Village Mall in Danville again.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 21st, both Saturdays at noon, we'll be at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. So men, now would be a great time to join the Singing Men. Say you can't sing all year long, but you could commit for 2 or 3 months.
Oh, nice.
Come join us this coming Monday night. We sing from 7 to 9 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 to 9 p.m. And, you know, commit to joining us for 3 or 4 months. And we definitely have those two Christmas concerts. I think we'll begin Christmas music this coming week or in the next couple weeks for sure.
Is the children's choir going to be performing?
I think so. We're going to see.
Fun.
We're trying to pull that all together. Dee's doing a great job. A lot of new singers. So they're having to learn everything from square one. I think, again, we have about 9 or 10 brand new Chinese that have never sung before and are learning English.
Wow. Okay.
So there's some hurdles to get over.
Sure.
And
Dee's
doing her very best to get them all ready. So.
I love this conversation about Christmas. I love Christmas.
Yeah, that's not too far away.
I know. It's getting closer every day.
Exciting time. So, well, it's Wednesday, which means it's the Prime Life Times in review.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to read the cover story.
We are.
And we'll see what else we can get in. If you haven't picked up your copy of this month's edition, the September edition, it's available at over 300 area locations throughout East Central Illinois, West Central Indiana, ever-growing paper.
Yeah.
And we're just so excited to see how many people are picking up the papers.
I know. I hear of more and more people talk about it.
Yeah, where was I Oh, when I was at the West Side Church of the Nazarene, a couple came up. We were handing out papers. In fact, Peggy Meyer, one of our board members, was making sure everyone had a paper.
Thank
I brought
you,
a couple
Peggy.
Bundles. Thank you, Peggy. And some lady came up and said, oh, we love this paper. And I said, oh, where do you pick it up? And she goes, oh, sometimes here, sometimes over in here, sometimes in Danville. So if you haven't read it or seen it yet, you can read it also online at primelifetimes.com. But if you're like me and you still want to touch it and hold the pages and have it in your hands and look through it, hear the rustling sound,
something fun about
then,
that.
You can subscribe to it. It's $30, and that really basically covers the postage for a full year, 12 editions. Or, you know, you can go to our website and look at the many locations. It's sorted by state, Illinois, and then Indiana, and then by town, alphabetized. So it's really easy, and you'll see, I'm sure, some location near you. So, the
and
Prime Lifetime.
This is our last reading from the September edition.
Yeah, it'll be October.
I know.
In fact, next Monday, our 20-plus thousands will be showing up.
Yep, it will. It's at the printer now.
Okay, so you got your edition in front of you. I am grabbing mine now.
All right. All right. Well, the cover story is called Indigenous Illinois, the History of American Indian Tribes in and Around Champaign County by Jason Peterson. And I just have to say, this particular article focuses mostly on Champaign County, but what I have come to realize and did not know is, well, I knew this, we have a huge amount of counties in our listening area, but what I didn't know is that it's not a homogenous, the tribes that were all around in all these counties weren't all the same tribes at all. So I would love to hear from anybody that wants to write an article about the history of the other counties. This is just Champaign County.
Right, right.
So it would be very interesting to know the Native American story from this entire area. Okay, Jason Peterson writes.
And we did a little shout-out about Jason last week because his father, Doug Peterson, who also has written a story, just got done with that great stage production of...
Indeed.
Friends Indeed?
Friends Indeed, Benjamin Franklin and George
very
Whitfield.
Successful, and they're talking about doing another showing in the coming days.
Ruth Esri went to that. I mean, they were singing the praises of it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so this is the son, who's a very good writer himself.
Oh, he is. And historian, too.
Yes.
In 1874, the campus newspaper at the University of Illinois changed its name from The Student to The Illini. This was the first recorded use of the name Illini on campus. The earliest documented use of Illini in athletics is in the 1907 Ilio yearbook describing the football team. Despite the name's American Indian origins, as well as the contentious debate over the Fighting Illini symbol, many Champaign County residents might not know much about the indigenous people of this area or their story. However, American Indians do have a story here, and that story isn't over yet. And now we come into some subsections, the first of which is the Europeans. Although the land between the Mississippi River and the Appalachian Mountains was inhabited and controlled by various American Indian tribes, it was claimed by three successive countries during the 17th and 18th centuries. First, the French claimed it as a part of their empire when they arrived in the late 1600s. Then, the French transferred it to Great Britain in 1763 after they lost the French and Indian War. Finally, the British relinquished it to the newly formed United States of America in 1783 at the conclusion of the American Revolution. Each of these countries had significant impacts on the American Indians of East Central Illinois. Now subheading the Illinois. There are no signs that any American Indian permanent settlements or villages ever existed in what is now Champaign County. The American Indians probably saw no more use in the area's marshy prairies than the early white settlers did. However, there is plenty of evidence pointing to their presence in the county. Indigenous tribes lived in the surrounding area, and it is likely that they hunted game in Champaign County, setting up seasonal camps in the forested areas surrounding the prairies. In the 17th century, when French explorers arrived in central Illinois, The land was mostly occupied by a group of tribes, including the Peoria, Cahokia, Kaskaskia, Mishigamia, and more. The French referred to the Confederation as the Illinois, or Illinois, as they would say, or Illinois.
So this was the French referring it
Illinois.
As Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois. Yeah. French versions of the Ottawa name for the group. Because the French were small in number in this area, they posed little threat to the resident tribes and maintained good relationships with them. However, the British settlers in the east disturbed the Illinois' way of life before any of them even arrived in the region. Eastern tribes were disrupted or displaced as British settlement moved west. The tribes that arrived in east-central Illinois fought with the Illiniwek over land and resources and brought diseases, such as smallpox. Starting around the mid-17th century, the Illinois' greatest foe was the Iroquois Confederacy, who badly diminished their population. By the mid-18th century, the Illinois were mostly occupied with fighting the Sauk, Fox, Kickapoo, and Potawatomi tribes. During this period, most of the Illinois were driven out of the territory. By the time white settlers arrived from the east, the land, once occupied by the Illinois Confederation, was now largely controlled by the Kickapoo. The Kickapoo. Due to a series of military defeats at the hands of Ottawa war chief Pontiac and numerous tribes, Great Britain outlawed British settlement west of the Appalachians until further treaties were negotiated. Because of this, the tribes in east-central Illinois didn't experience too many problems from white settlers from that direction. That wouldn't last long, though. After the United States ousted the British during the Revolutionary War, newly American settlers began to stream west. In short, the settlers' encroachment on tribal lands led to violent clashes. Outmatched, the Kickapoo and other tribes eventually signed a series of treaties that by 1819 gave all of their lands over to the Americans, and they left east-central Illinois. Remaining American Indians in the area, Kickapoo or otherwise, were forcibly removed after the Indian Removal Act of 1830. These treaties opened up east-central Illinois to settlement, and by 1822, Champaign County had its first white settler. Once drained, the soil in this region would become some of the most productive ground in the world for growing corn and soybeans. From that point on, this lucrative land was firmly in the control of the United States government. The Miami. However, the story took a surprising turn in 2000. That's recent. When leaders from the Miami tribe of Oklahoma filed a federal lawsuit to reclaim 2.6 million acres of land in Illinois, including land in Champaign County. Rather than suing the federal government or the state of Illinois, the tribal leaders filed against 15 landowners, targeting one plot of land in each of the 15 counties included in the 2.6 million acres. The tribe wasn't demanding reparations with the lawsuit, but rather argued that the land is rightfully theirs due to a long-ignored treaty. Prior to their removal, the Miami were located throughout Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. With the 1805 Treaty of Grouseland, the federal government granted a large tract of land covering parts of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio to the Miami in exchange for lands they owned further east. The Miami would later cede all that land back to the United States in various treaties, except the 2.6 million acres of east-central Illinois land in question in the lawsuit. The Miami argued that the treaty between the federal government and the Kickapoo that gave the United States east-central Illinois was invalid. The Treaty of Grouseland says that, quote, no part of the lands guaranteed to the Miami tribe by treaty could be transferred without the express consent of the Miami tribe, end quote. Before filing the lawsuit, the Miami initiated discussions with then-Governor of Illinois Jim Edgar in 1996 and later with his successor George Ryan. However, negotiations were fruitless, Although they proceeded with the lawsuit for all 2.6 million acres, Miami leader George Tiger said they were interested in a negotiated settlement, likely for cash or a smaller plot of unsettled land. Ryan claimed that tribe's goal was to build and operate a land-based casino on the newly acquired land. In the end, the state of Illinois was not interested in a settlement. The attorney general filed a motion to dismiss the suit on the grounds that it called into question the state's sovereignty. Shortly thereafter, the Miami withdrew their lawsuit. Despite the withdrawal, the Miami say they won't stop fighting for their land. There have been no reported attempts to reclaim this land in the intervening years. However, the tribe waited 195 years to make a move last time.
Oh, jeez.
Who knows when the next attempt might be.
Wow.
You know, the history of the whole world is this back and forth of people groups moving in,
right.
Other groups move out, famine, war, everything.
When I was thinking how similar Israel or parts of Israel is to Illinois,
yeah.
It was like swamp land,
oh, interesting.
Discarded, not used,
yeah.
Mosquito infested, malaria and such.
Mm-hmm.
Even Mark Twain, when he visited the Holy Land, he said,
yeah.
It's desolate, it's terrible, it's swampy.
Yeah.
Well, Illinois was like that, but yet,
yeah.
Look how, when they drained it and the great soil that we have and the farmers, the production is so high.
Well, you know, you say that you used to be able to take a boat ride, an actual in a boat, from Champaign to Gibson City. It was...
Wow.
That swampy.
Moxie. Wow. You know, I grew up in a time where there's all the cowboys and Indian stories and point of view, but I've not heard many people talking at all for many years about land issues or the suffering that the Indians went through and, you know, their plight, you know, that settlers, Europeans came to America and they were living here, but because maybe they didn't have homes, they, you know, they grazed the land, they had their teepees, they, you know, moved around because that's how they got their food.
And some did, some didn't. But yeah, you're right.
But that's kind of a blight, I guess, on the American history. That
They fought against each other, too. You know, there's a blight on the human race for all this constant fighting.
Yeah, and I didn't know,
fighting.
You know, when the Europeans came to the east, many of those tribes started moving west.
Right.
And I didn't even think about the conflict between the Indians and the tribes.
The Iroquois Confederacy history is well worth reading about.
Wow.
That is fascinating.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, you can read more, or this and many other interesting articles are in this edition, the September edition of the Prime Life Times, and we invite you to pick up a copy, read it online, or after you read your copy, hand it off to a friend. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.